Edgware Torah Way, Parshas Devarim, 22nd of July, Rabbi Malcolm Herman.
So I'd like to spend the time on the Inyan from Avedus to Tshuva and the various processes that we're going through now, and share some thoughts. It's a shiur that I first gave some years ago. That was before personal experience of Avedus. I think in those days I was a tourist in the world of Avedus, but Rahman Islam, once a person has experienced it, then you become a citizen in the world of Avedus. A tourist, no matter how well researched, is always an outsider. A citizen, no matter how recent, is always a resident. It's a whole different experience. But of course, these weeks, these now 9 days, or less than 9 days, every one of us is supposed to be a citizen in the world of Avedus. Anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim will see the Simcha. If you think about it, if you're making a Simcha, would you invite someone that never thought of coming to the Shiva? No, because sadly enough, the Shiva delineates the furthest circle of a person's associates. You don't need to know a person that well to come to the Shiva. So says the Gemara, if you didn't come to the Shiva for Yerushalayim, you can't expect to receive an invitation for the Simcha. So for the next few days, next week, we're supposed to be citizens in the world of Avedus. So I want to spend a few minutes discussing what that means, and then looking at the sequence, the procedure, from Avedus to Nechama, and then from Nechama to Teshuva. Because of course, we're now, after the Shiva, the Gimel, the Paranusa, the three Haftorahs of Paranus, we then go from the Shiva to Nechemta, which takes us from Avedus all the way through to Rosh Hashanah. So Vaisachos, there is a sequence, there is a connection, there is a process in the thinking. Of course, everything starts in Shivas Batamas. And Shivas Batamas historically has a very important link to Yom Kippur, as we know. Because on Shivas Batamas, Nishtabra Luchos, the Luchos are broken. On the day after Shivas Batamas, Moshe Rabbeinu ascends Har Sinai again to plead for clemency for Klal Yisrael. And is up there for 40 days just pleading with the Kodesh Baruch Hu not to destroy Klal Yisrael. Comes down again. And then goes up again on Rosh Chodesh Elul, having achieved a stay of execution, but they don't have a second set of luchos. So then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up for the third time on Rosh Chodesh Elul, coming back 40 days later in Yom Kippur with a second set of luchos. That's why Yom Kippur is a Yom HaTshuvah. So there's already an intrinsic link from Shivas Batamos all the way through to Yom Kippur. There's already a link between and this whole period from Avedus to Teshuvah. So let's have a look at what does the word Avedus mean. What does the word Nechama mean? And how do those thought processes move us on from Nechama to Tshuva? So what's interesting, of course, is the word Ovel, the word Avol. The word Aleph Beis Lamed, if you look at it without vowels, it can be read as one of two words, either Ovel or Avol. So for example, we see, when it came to Yosef, the Yosef who was abducted by his brothers and sent off to Mitzrayim, and then they come home and they report to their father that Yosef is missing. All his sons and daughters attempt to comfort Yaakov, and he refused to be comforted. He said, I will descend to the grave in Avedus, I'll never recover from this sorrow. And his father cried for him. I will go down to the grave in Avedus. There is the word Aleph Beis Lamed, seen as Ovel in the sense that we understand it to mean Avedus. Later on, in the next parasha, it says, this is when they come down to Mitzrayim, and they are confronted with Yosef. So 20 years after the abduction, they came down to Mitzrayim and they meet this personality, whom they don't know. He accuses them of espionage. And these brothers, they're Anoshim Chashavim, they start doing a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Why is this happening to us? Why is he challenging us? Why is he giving us a difficult time? And they say, Avol Ashemim Anachnu. But we are guilty, Alachino, over our brother. Ashera Inu Toras Navshoi, we saw his pain, Mishalano Elenu, when he appealed to us for Lois Shamanu, and we didn't listen to him. Alkain, Bo Alino Torazos. Therefore, they're saying, you know, for what happened 20 years earlier, now we've got this Torah. Here, the same word, Aleph Beis Lamed, but here it doesn't mean Ovel, as in Avelus, as in mourning, but here it means Avol, as in but. So Rav Hirsch Kadariko notes that, yeah, as we know very well, if a word has similar letters, there must be an association in meaning. Unlike in English, where the words are arbitrary, if it has similar letters, it must have a similar shorish, a similar concept. So what could be the association between the word Ovel, but an Ovel mourning? So he puts it, if I can, in these terms. If you think about the function of the word but in a sentence, Let's imagine you're having a review at work, or you're giving your review at work, and you say to the employee, or the employer says to you, I think you're doing a fantastic job, I love this piece of work you did, but... Now what happens in that moment in your time? That but has the function of cancelling everything they've said before. And you just think to yourself, okay, just tell me the bad news. Enough of this English niceties, just tell me the bad news. Everything that happened before, of course, in Israel, I wouldn't do it that way, in Israel, I'd just tell you the bad news straight out. But yeah, Avol, what's the function of this word but? It is a full stop in the middle of life. It's a full stop. Life was flowing, there was a certain continuum, there was a certain expectation that what you had today would be there tomorrow, and suddenly, Rahman is not a person struck with Avedis. It's a full stop, it's an Avol in the middle of a life. It stops everything, stops the flow. It's difficult to conceptualize what happened before. It's difficult to think what happened afterwards. That's the function of Avedis. Even in terms of Hilchos Avedis, we know that during the Yemei Shiva, a person is not supposed to engage in external activities. Ideally, they're supposed to sleep in the place where you're sitting Shiva. Everything comes to a standstill. The world continues rushing by. The traffic continues. But in your world, everything stops. During these 9 days, the halachas, we don't function the way that we normally do. All the various halachas reflect that. In the climax on Tisha B'Av, where mamish life stops, we sit Shiva on Tisha B'Av morning, we don't engage in normal conversation, we're supposed to desist from any other activities, life comes to a standstill. That's Avedis. So what is Nechama? Many Nepsukim about Nechama, the Haftarah Pashas Ekev, Kinicham Hashem Tzion, Nicham Korcho Bezer. Hashem will comfort Tzion, will comfort all of its ruins. Vayosem in Barak Eden Barbosek and Hashem. Hashem will restore the midbar, the wilderness, the desolate place, and turn it into a Gan Hashem once again. So Avedis is this sense of comfort. But what is Avedis? What's fascinating is we even find an instruction in Pirkei Avos that sometimes when we least expect it, Avedis is incorrect. It's the incorrect response. Stated in Pirkei Avos, paying down a mission in your head, Rishim ben Allah Zoymer, Al Teratza Es Chavercha B'Sha'as Kaseh. Do not attempt to appease, to quieten down your chaver, B'Sha'as Kaseh. You've got a friend who's in an absolute temper, and you want to try and calm them down. And now, of course, we know the worst thing to say to them is, calm down. What do you mean, calm down? Do you know what they did to me? No. Al Tanachame B'Sha'as Shemesim B'Telefonah. And don't offer Nachama B'Sha'as Shemesim B'Telefonah. That means, Rahman Nisan, a person has just suffered a bereavement. Don't offer Nachama. Well, why not? I mean, isn't that what they need? Then they need some kind of comfort. And what's interesting is that Pirkei Avos doesn't tell us what you should do. It just tells us what you shouldn't do. Al tanachamei b'shas shemesim mutlafonav. Don't offer nechama. V'al tishalei b'shas nidrei. That means a person just taken a neder, and you hear them take their neder, and you think that was a bit rash, a bit of an inappropriate neder, and you try to start limiting the parameters of that neder, and you say to him, you didn't mean in this situation, did you? And they go, yes, I did. You didn't mean in this situation, yes, I did. Before you know it, they've extended it much more widely than they ever intended, thanks to your help. And do not attempt to see a person in a moment of degradation. So four instructions over here. When a person is Bakas, a person is in Bashas Meso, Nidre and Bekal Kolosso. So what is Nechomar if it's not appropriate when a person has just suffered an acute pain? What is Nechomar? So I'd like to take you through a Gemara, which is a very, very famous Gemara, but I think it bears going through with some of the Forshim on it. Perhaps the most famous Gemara in this area, which is the end of the Gemara in Makkos, the very last Gemara in Makkos, the last paragraphs in Makkos. But if we look at it through the eyes of the Mashah, we see a different perspective. Let's remind ourselves of the Gemara. We have Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Kiva are walking post the Churban in the area of Yerushalayim. Shua Parachas are own in Yerushalayim. On another occasion, they were ascending towards Yerushalayim. Kiven Shiyigiu Laharat Seifim. Since they reached Harat Seifim, Mount Scopus, Korah Bigdanim, they did Kriya. Note over here, it seems as though they all did Kriya. All of them did Kriya. Kiven Shiyigiu Laharat Bayis, when they saw the Temple Mount Harat Bayis, Ra'u Shu'al Shiyotz on the base Kodesh Kedoshim. They saw a fox who was running in and out of the base Kodesh Kedoshim. The Holy of Holies. Yiskinu Hein Boichin and Mekiva Matzachim. So three out of four of them began to cry, and the Mekiva laughed. Omrlo, they said to him, how can you laugh? For goodness sake, this is the Malkam HaMigdosh. How can you laugh? There are foxes, wild animals, running in and out. Why are you crying? What have you got to cry about? Omrlo, they said to him, Malkam Shekosu Bo Vazara Korav Yumas, the place about which it's stated in Torah, Vazara Korav Yumas, that If a Zar, a non-Kohen, was to enter that place, then he would not survive the experience. Such was the intensity of Kedusha. For Achshav Shulim Holchaboy from Lenovake, and now there are foxes running in and out, should we not cry? Amalehen, he said to them, Akachani Matachik, this is this reason good for why I'm not. Now then he quotes a passage from Yeshua. Va'idoli Eidim Ne'monim Es Uriah HaKohen V'Zechariah Ben Yerachiah. Says Yeshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the following Eidim. He will bring Uriah and Zechariah. So there's a prediction that these two Nevi'im will come together as Eidim. Say Freit Rabbi Kiva Kasha. V'chimayin in Uriah is Zechariah. Tosfos has a whole discussion over here as to who was Uriah, what does this mean, but leaving that aside for the moment. Now, he says Rabbi Kiva, how can you link Uriah and Zechariah? Uriah by Midrash Rishon, Zechariah by Midrash Sheni. Uriah was in the first place of Midrash, Zechariah was in the second place of Midrash. How can you suggest they're going to come together and they're going to give some kind of aidance? Says Rabbi Kiva, tell you Peshat. Tell our Kosa, Benuvu Osa, Shal Zechariah, Benuvu Osa, Shal Uriah. The Pasuk isn't suggesting they're going to turn up at the same time, in the same place, and give aidance. That is not what the Pasuk is suggesting. It's suggesting that there is an intrinsic link between the Nevuah of one and the Nevuah of the other. And if we understand that link, then that together becomes an Eidus. But Uriah says, because of you, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because of your Averus, so Tzion will be ploughed over, the land will be totally desolate. Zechariah says, O Yeshua, Zechariah, 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 beautiful Pesukim in Zechariah, which predicts that one day the streets of Yerushalayim will be filled with older people sitting and relaxing in the streets of Yerushalayim and be filled without, there won't be security gates there or these the arches they have to go through. It will be a place of serenity, a place of Kedusha. That says of Akiva, I actually know this kind of Nevosa Shal Uriah. Before I saw the prophecy of the Uriah fulfilled, Hayisi Mishoresh of this kind of Nevosa Shal Zechariah. I was, in some respects, uncertain about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. Now, says Rabbi Kiva, I see the prophecy of Uriah being fulfilled in such graphic detail. That reassures me, and I have confidence in the Nevuah of the Zechariah. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara says as follows. That's what Rabbi Kiva says to them. Says the Gemara, Beloshon Hazer Omrulo. I wish I was qualified to say, but I don't think you see this Loshon so often in the Gemara. But Loshon Hazeh Omrulo. They said it to him in this precise way. They used these precise words. Akiva Nechamtonu, Akiva Nechamtonu. Akiva, you have comforted us. Akiva, you have comforted us. So here, the result of this whole conversation between them and Akiva was Nechama. So what is Nechama? So first of all, the Maharsha over here asks several questions in this Gemara. First of all, of course, we see that Akiva, of course, did Kriya. He did Kriya with them when they approached Har Habayis. But also, the Gemara says, "Kol misabal on Yerushalayim, tzelcha barov v'simchasei." A person is supposed to be misabal on Yerushalayim. So how could Rabbi Akiva love? Also, we say in Eicha, "Al zayo deva adal v'alibenu, al eila choshku einenu, al haratzion sheshamim shulam holchaboy." For this, our eyes are weeping. For this, our eyes are darkened when we see Haratzion, which is desolate, and foxes running in and out. So in Eicha, it says that one of the simonim of the tragedy of the Horban will be to see foxes running in and out. So again, how can it be that Rabbi Akiva didn't respond like they responded? Third Kashri asks, is there are many Nevi'im who prophesied about Nechama and Avedus. Why link these two? Those are his three Kashas. It's clear from the Gemara that they did Kriya, but the Maharsha also says he must have mourned over Yerushalayim. Kol HaMisab al Yerushalayim. Kasha number two, Azaido Venu. Eicha signifies, highlights the tragedy of seeing foxes running in and out. And thirdly, why Dafka these two Nevi'im? So he says as follows. There's no shine about it that Rabbi Akiva mourned the Siluk HaShkina. When he came to the Har Habayis, he saw there was no Shekinah over there. There was no divine presence over there. There's no question that he mourned alongside them. He did Kriya alongside them. That's no question. That wasn't what their debate was about. Was the sin of the Shekinah, the absence of the Shekinah, a tragedy or not? That wasn't what the debate was about. But they, says the Maharsha, what they were focusing on is the fact that the land itself had not been rebuilt by anybody. It was a mamish achorban. It was desolate. It was a wasteland. It was like a piece of wasteland. And that's what they focused on. They focused on that aspect of the tragedy, that there was no civilization there, there was nothing built, there was nothing there at all. So he said to the Hefach, on the contrary, that gives me Nechama. That gives me Nechama, because that demonstrates that everything is divinely orchestrated. That demonstrates, as we say, Pashas and Sofrim, that the land will not yield to anybody else, and that land will not produce for anybody else. And therefore, on the contrary, the fact that there's no Shekhinah is a tragedy. The fact that no one else has created anything in this area, that's not a tragedy. On the contrary, that's a nechama, that's a comfort. That is the realization of the words of the Divrei Nevi'im, and that demonstrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not abandoned the land. He's still doing what he said he would do. And the land itself is loyal to us. From that I take comfort, not the reverse. And therefore, that answers the kashas. Did he mourn? Avadi he mourned. It was Misabal Ali Rishonayim. But over this aspect, he didn't mourn. From this aspect, he took the Choma. The fact the land had not yielded to anybody else. The fact the land was still loyal to them. And that demonstrated the Kodesh Baruch Hu had still kept his eye on the land and kept the land for us. And therefore, when Eicha talks about Shulim Holchaboy, that's talking about the Siddur Kashkinda. Of course, for that he mourned, but not the absence of another civilization. And this was focused particularly by the Lochem Mechlalchem, Sione, Tichoresh. These two Nevuahs focused particularly on the degradation of the land and the restoration of the land. And therefore, it's these two Nevi'im that Rabbi Akiva particularly linked in his suggestion of Nechama for them. So, what did Rabbi Akiva do that they didn't do? What was their response? What was his response? If Avedus is to be stuck in the moment, is to be frozen in time, is to focus on the immediacy of the moment, that's what they did. All they could see was what was in front of them. But what Akiva did, he gave them the Choma. The Choma is context. The Choma is when a person steps back and sees a bigger picture. He showed them this is part of the continuum, the Hemshach of Jewish history. There was a before, this was predicted. There will be an after, that will be predicted. They showed them context. The Choma is context, where you take a step back and you can see the bigger picture, and you can see that not to be frozen in that moment in time, but there is a before and there will be an after. So my suggestion is that in contrast to Avedus, if Rav Hirsch accentuates that Avedus is where the Avol, where you get stuck, you get frozen, and that is correct in Avedus, then the Choma is where you're able to transcend that, take and look at it more broadly, and see that actually there will be a continuum. There will be. That's what it is. That's what the Choma is, a context. And that's what they said to him. Akiva Nacham Tonu. You've shown us a context. You've shown us a broader picture. You've shown us the whole flow of it all. So why is it the Meshach Shemesim Mutlafonov, Alta Nachamim, Meshach Shemesim Mutlafonov? So by suppose it seems a double posture, that a person has to be in the correct emotional place to be ready for that Nachamah. He has to be in the correct emotional place to be ready for that Nachamah. And Meshach Shemesim Mutlafonov, they're not ready for that yet. It's so raw, and it's so emotionally sensitive, that they're not in a place where you can lift them and show them they'll be. You know, anyone knows this, you know, to say to someone saying Shiva, no, Baruch Hashem, I lived a ripe old age. Maybe 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after you say that, but not at that moment, because that's showing them a context. You can't see a context in that point in time. Avedis is. So what does Pirkei Avos, just as an aside, tell you should do? Tells Madame Lechamera, doesn't tell you what you should do, but doesn't say you shouldn't go. It says just be there. Just be there with them. Just be there with them. And don't attempt to give words of wisdom. Don't attempt to give, you know, great philosophy. That's not the time. That will come later on. That's not Choma. And the moment of immediacy of pain, the Choma isn't appropriate. The Choma comes a little bit later on when they're able to be more receptive to it. Okay. It's interesting. Let's focus on our Tisha B'Av and Elul. But so that, if this is correct, that Avedus is where a person is focused on the moment, and the Choma is a context beyond that. But the Chayra, we have a very interesting understanding of the flow of our Aveda from now to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Noah. Let's have a look at Gemara and Sukkah. Gemara and Sukkah is as follows. Lasid Lavo, Gemara and Basim and Aleph. Meviyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzara B'Shechta. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Yetzara and Shecht it. Lasid Lavo. Mifnei HaTzadikim and Mifnei HaRashoyim. In front of the Tzadikim and in front of the Rashoyim. Tzadikim Nidma Lehem Kahar Gavoya. The Tzadikim, the Yetzara, will appear to them like a mountain, a high mountain. Rishoyim nidmalahem kuchut hasa'ara. And to the Rishoyim, the Yetzirah will appear like a flimsy hair. A hair from a person's head. Halalu bochim, halalu bochim. Both groups will cry. Tzadikim bochim, v'omrim ha'eich yochonu lichvash ha'kabur kazeh. They'll look at this mountain and they say, how do we ever ascend a mountain like this? They'll be overwhelmed with positive emotion and cry for that. Rishoyim bochim, the Rishoyim will cry, v'omrim ha'eich lo yochonu lichvash eschut hasa'ara zeh. How is it that we were unable to vanquish, to conquer this hair? It was so flimsy. This was the eighth horror. That's all it was. It was so flimsy. How is it we were unable to withstand the temptations? So what's Pshat in the Gemara? I once heard many years ago when I was in Yeshiva from Shmuel Goldberg, Shlita, the Mashgiach of Shari Torah, said as follows, Pshat in the Gemara. I don't remember where he said it from. Maybe it was in Pshat, I don't remember. But I heard it from him. He said, what's happening over here? The eighth horror, this is a metaphor for life's challenges. The Rosh Hashanah will look at it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show them. He spoke a bit of Lashon Hara here, he did this wrong, that wrong, the other wrong. And they'll see that really, the whole test lasted a few seconds. The whole Nisayim lasted a few seconds. It was just a flimsy, so flimsy the whole thing. And had they been able to withstand it, then it could have snapped it like a hair. It could have snapped it like a hair. It should be so easy to do. And they'll cry when they look at it like that and see, oh, I could have done that. I should have been able to do that. How long did the whole thing last? The Nisayim lasted just a matter of seconds. On the other hand, the tzaddikim, those seconds accumulate, second by second, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, until it's a mountain of achievement, a mountain of spiritual achievement, an absolute conquest of spiritual achievement. And they'll be overwhelmed when they see the results of that accumulation of those seconds by seconds achievements. So it struck me, thinking about this Gemara, that to a certain degree it's the same thing. What is an avera? An avera is when a person gets caught in the moment. That's what it is, you get obsessed by the moment. Think about those times, maybe it's not relevant for you, when you said something, a few seconds later you think to yourself, what did I say that for? It was much of a horror. Or you lose it, you get upset with somebody else. You think, what am I getting impatient for? Looking about it in retrospect, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, half an hour later, you think, so it's just stupid. How did I allow myself to get caught in the moment? Avera is when a person gets frozen in the moment. They get caught in the moment. What is teshuva? And they allow the whole moment to derail life's task, life's mission. It just derails the mission of life. Teshuva is really where a person restores life's mission. They see the context. And really, the way that we're supposed to live is where the mission defines the moment, not the moment derails the mission. That's what the difference is between Avera and a sense of perspective, a Shavisi Hashem. Where the Avera derails the mission, that's it. That's what happens. It just takes us off course. But where it's supposed to be is where the mission restores the moment. Therefore, it's interesting. What happens, when was the first Tisha B'Av in Jewish history? Of course, was in the Midbar. What happened in the Midbar? The Meraglim came back and everybody got possessed. Everybody got obsessed with what they saw in front of them. And Kalev tried to calm them down. Is this all that Kalev Shabbat has done for us? And he tried to show them the context. If we've forgotten about Kriyas Yamsuf, if we've forgotten about Yitzis Mitzrayim, if we've forgotten all those things, but they couldn't see beyond that. Atem Bechisem Bechir Shel Chinom. Interesting word, chinom is the opposite of nachem. You got stuck in that moment, you lost the context. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what the punishment is for that? If you got stuck in those moments and you allowed that to derail everything, then the punishment is avedus. Punishment is avol. You got frozen there, then I'm afraid you'll have to have experiences of life where you are frozen, you are stuck in those moments. It's interesting that we find that there's no avedus before Hesia on Shabbos. So I don't know, as a suggestion, no avedus before Hesia on Shabbos. Shabbos is Menucha, which is exactly the same letters as Nechama. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is where we're supposed to transcend and rise above. If avedus is where we get stuck in the pain of life, Shabbos is where we transcend, we lift ourselves beyond that and have a sense of serenity. Some years ago when I got engaged in my wife's family, so my wife was in those days blessed with a very wonderful grandmother. Her name was Mrs. Rosenberg. She was a wonderful lady. She was 93 when I joined the family. She still lived by herself. And she, before I could join the family, so I had to have an interview with her. It was quite informal, kind of Sanhedrin-style setting. anyway, but and once we once went to a Friday night, and she had a very interesting... After I came home from shul, she didn't make Kiddush immediately. For a few minutes, we sat down in the lounge, or I wasn't schmoozing for a few minutes. And then she would say to us the following words, exactly these words. She would say, Do you feel Shabbos now? Do you feel Shabbos now? Now we can make Kiddush. You're coming into Shabbos with all the avel of the week, you're still stuck in the week. You can't really get into the Shabbos. Shabbos is where you lift above. Shabbos is Menucha. Shabbos is where you transcend. Why perhaps is there no Avedis on Shabbos? Because Avedis is the antithesis of Shabbos. Avedis is where you get stuck in the moment, you get frozen. Shabbos asks us whatever's been going on during the week, then we lift ourselves above that. We rise above that. We feel Shabbos and rise above that. So let's just round things off in terms of, obviously, Avoda now is an Avoda of Avedis. The Avoda of the next few days is Avoda of Avedis. And of course, know, that within that Avedis is a process of tshuva. Of course it is, because Avedis asks us to think to ourselves, what caused Avedis in the first place? What caused Avedis? What caused that first Tisha B'Av was that we couldn't see the bigger picture. We allowed these moments to get hold of us, to possess us, to take hold of us, and derail us completely. Then we move into Nechama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now the process is to lift above and to start thinking about the bigger context. Start reorientating, recalibrating your mind so you think about context. And that takes us all the way to Rosh Hashanah. All the way to Rosh Hashanah. So the mindset from Avedis to Rosh Hashanah is Nechama. A mindset we think about the bigger context. What's the contrast between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Much has been written, much has been said on this. Of course, they're both Yimei Adin. But on Yom Kippur, you have all the Al-Chaitz and all the Vidoy. On Rosh Hashanah, there's come out no reference to Chaitz and certainly no Vidui. What's the chiddush between the two? So, Bekitza, one could look at the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as Rosh Hashanah is about the mission. It's about the mission, the tafkid of life. Amela, who are we? What do we understand the mission of life? It's not about reflecting so much on the previous year. It's about projecting to the year ahead. What is my mission in life? It's about the mission. It's about the context. You come to Yom Kippur is all about the moments. What are all the al-chaits? All the al-chaits are the moments that derailed us. Moment after moment after moment after moment after moment. What is that al-chaits? So, vice to chais, when it's only once we've got a sense of the mission that we can then have a framework against which we can evaluate the moments of our lives. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is the bigger picture. Yom Kippur is where we reflect back on all those al-chaits and the moments which literally got in the way. They frustrated, they thwarted the mission of our lives. So therefore, that's really, I would suggest, that's our avodah of the next few days. That we have to understand what avodah is. Avodah is, yes, we take a step out of life. We focus on where we're at. We allow the world to continue beyond us, and we focus. It's not a time for distraction. It's not a time for distraction. It's a time for focus on what avodah is. At the same time, we focus on what created the avodah. What created the avodah is those avodahs that allowed us to derail ourselves. And in Mitzvah Shem, this time, not this time, next week, just past that, then we move into the Choma mode. It's so easy during the Ben Azmanim to kind of, you know, forget the link between Tisha B'Av and but Aleph base, Av is Elul Ba. Elul is not far away. And therefore, Mitzvah Shem, we should be Zocher to do the appropriate Avodah actually stage and lead ourselves from the Avodahs to the Nechama and from the Nechama to the context of Tshuva and from Tshuva, Mitzvah Shem, to a time where Avodahs is behind us.